This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
What's going on, Barry? How are you?
When I have a day off, I get in the car and socialize to Long Island. I usually start at about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Take the third exit. Turn left.
And I drive down to East Earl, Pennsylvania to the Shady Maple Smokers Sports Buffet.
How long is this trip? What are we looking at here?
385 miles. It usually takes me about 4.5 hours.
You drive 400 miles to get food?
Oh, yes. What got me addicted is something called baked French toast.
This is DCR.
Early risers will get work, I guess is what Frank is.
Yeah, well said, Dave.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, I was hoping that was dead and buried and we would never have to revisit it, but thanks to Santiago and Santillo, they brought it right back. You like that, huh?
It's so perfect how he did it too. I asked for it, and he's like,
oh, you did. So you're the one.
He's like, I think I can do it. And then once he did it, he's like, you're going to like this. How he tied it in perfectly to Barry driving for breakfast. I mean, that's sensational.
I like Barry's voice, too, by the way. I drive all the way to Pennsylvania for eggs and hash, and it's delicious. Early risers like will get work.
The eggs taste like they were just laid, he says.
And the eggs, they're beautiful. Like, hey, the bird has just delivered them.
I'll tell you what. I want that French toast. The way he described that French toast.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, listen, you don't know. Cassie's listening to the show. You could be picking it up for breakfast tomorrow morning. Exactly. You have no idea.
Swing over to Pennsylvania. You know, Shay and her boyfriend want some of this French toast. And
you know what she should start to do is push the limits on you. I mean, first it's New York City. Maybe now she sends you to Jersey. Then she just, at what point do you stand up and say, Cass, I'm not going that far?
I don't. You know this. Stop it. Like, don't pretend like you wouldn't do it. You don't do exactly what Sherry tells you to do.
No.
Stop
way.
It.
Listen, I will do anything around the house. I'll help out as best I can. But there is no way that I'm driving 50, 60 miles to pick up food.
I've driven further than that. This was the only time I actually drive this one by myself. I mean, she's made me drive all over the place. I told you, hour and 45 minutes for pancakes, and they weren't even good.
Yeah, I don't like that. But she went with you for that one, right? You guys went and ate as a family.
Yeah, we went together for that one. It was a disappointment, though. But here's the best part about that place Barry was talking about. He actually, we're getting a bunch of tweets on this. Dude, not only do you have to drive, like, not only, this is why Barry leaves so early. I'm getting tweets that there's like a 3-hour wait to get in this place.
It's French toast.
I drive 400 miles and then I wait for 3 hours, but the eggs are like passion, like making love in the 70s. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever envisioned.
And then they steam the French toast. It tastes like I love them. You need him to call back. Hey, before we get into these Knicks calls, because I want to take all these Knicks calls. You know I hate to do this because I listen to the K Show more than anyone.
You're not going to say anything bad about Michael.
Oh, absolutely not. Of course not. Oh,
okay, good. Woo.
Spoke with Michael yesterday. Don's top five. Oh, we need to talk about this for a quick second.
So this is funny. And this shows you how popular it is. I was out with Ben yesterday. We pulled into the garage. We were listening to the top five. And I turned it off because we were in the garage and we were going inside. And he goes, I was listening to that. I wish you wouldn't have turned it off. So we turned the car back on and listened for another minute. But I didn't hear the whole thing. So walk through it. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm giving you. So Don's top five, the Daily Don.
Yeah.
Top
Not
five
so daily,
athletes.
But yes, it's the Don.
Yeah. So he has the top five athletes that go by a single name.
Okay.
So, all right, you try to guess. So you haven't seen this yet, so you try to guess.
I heard one and two. I think it was Pele, which absolutely is number one, because nobody even knows his real name. And Tiger was number two, right?
Yep, Tiger was two. So we had Ali three.
Okay, now so you can go just last name, obviously.
Yeah, just one name. This is a single name.
Would Gretzky be there?
You figure with Don's list, yeah, he'd have Gretzky. But he's trying to, I get what he's doing. He's
diversify.
Trying to protect himself. Exactly, because he doesn't want to just seem like he's a shill for hockey. So he got Serena four, and he's got Kobe five. Tell me the one glaring admission from this list.
Boy, I'm going to disappoint you because I don't have it off the top of my head. There's a glaring omission?
Yeah, how can you not see? I mean, what?
Brady?
No. He's one of the most iconic athletes in the history of all sports.
Well, then you got to go NBA. So you're either going Michael or you're going LeBron.
Jordan? How is Jordan not on the list?
Jordan should be on the list, yes.
LeBron John.
Like, what are you wearing? I'm wearing my Jordans. Jordan has to be on that list.
Has yeah.
Are you a smart guy?
I don't think it's a horrible list, though. I don't think Don did terribly here.
No, I don't think so either. But, I mean, I think that, I mean, Jordan
But you
has
could
to
go
the
deeper
list.
Than five. Like, you could probably go 20 that I just say their name and you immediately know who they are by, just by the one name. Oh. Aminu Muhammad, baby. Yeah, no, he needs both names.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but, I mean, you're making a top five. So now you got to, I mean, they got to make some tough decisions. Like, I like Kobe's
great.
So
who would you replace then? You're taking out, I mean, you can't take out Kobe.
No, well, you don't, who's greater, Jordan or Kobe?
I think I might take out.
And you've already set the precedent with the last name because you went Ali.
Right. I might. I don't know. I think I might take out Serena. I don't know. Could I take out Ali? I mean, you know him as Muhammad Ali. Sure, you say Ali. You know who he is. But I don't know.
Yeah, but they were saying Ali Boumbaye. They weren't saying Muhammad Ali. Come on. It's Ali.
Yeah, and he was also like worldwide too, right?
Yeah, I mean, but Michael Jordan's one of the most well-known athletes ever.
Yes, and international fame too.
Yeah, but he's like even just watching the Bulls documentary, which was pretty much a Jordan documentary. Like celebrities couldn't wait; like they were dying to meet Michael Jordan. Like he was like the ultimate.
Yeah, he was larger than life.
I think
Tiger's good though. Tiger 2 is good. Pele is clearly the number
yes.
one. Do you even and I don't. Do you even know what Pele's real name is?
No.
No. I don't think many people would. Let's get to some of these calls. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to Adam in Harlem. Adam, you're next up on 98.7.
So taking a page out of Hangover, no one's a more frustrated Knicks fan than me. Not none of you. Let's slow down here. Like trading all these picks, trading RJ, it's not a quick fix. Like, if we look at the Nets across town, this all started because they started with the two free agents, and then they built from there. If you look at Phoenix, who is a young team, they had their Booker. Like, let's develop this thing first. We just got into Tibbs. We just got into Kenny Payne. You're seeing the staff that has great competency in a draft, in my opinion. I know you guys are all over Halliburton. It looks good so far. Frank, in his take, was talking about let the cake bake. And Obi's 23. Like, let the cake bake.
Well, time out. Adam, here's where I disagree, though. Frank said the opposite of that. Frank thinks they need to try to do something now to win. Frank wasn't saying that this thing should bake.
But when he talks about Randall, who's only 26, his observation was, let the cake bake. It's not a surprise that this guy came and hit this height because you had to let it bake a little bit.
No, that's not what all he of a sudden was saying. You misinterpreted what he was saying.
So what was let the cake bake? What part did he mention?
No,
what was he referencing on that time?
What he was saying was that, yeah, to a certain degree, like a player at 22 is not going to be the same player that he is at 26. Like, it's going to take some time to figure it out. But his point with the Knicks was that, how long are you going to let just the Knicks in general, like, bake before? Like, there's plenty of teams that want to get, you know, stay young and athletic and have draft pick. Those teams stink. Like, the Sacramento Kings still, like, they have tons of young talent. They still stink. Like, that's at some point, you have to make a move.
This idea that you're not better for the present and the future if you acquire Bradley Beal. Like, and I think Frank said it. If you have Randall and you have Beal, you don't think now all of a sudden you're a destination for free agents?
With a good coaching staff?
I mean, with a legitimate GM and front office and coaching staff and young players? I mean, your best two players, Brett Beal would be 27 and Randall would be 26.
Well, the scary part about, like, I mean, that one of the reasons why free agents don't want to come to the New York Knicks is because they've been a mess. We all realize that. They've been poorly run. But to all of a sudden now decide, as a superstar, I'm going to be the first guy to go and have all that pressure to turn around by yourself. That's guys don't want to deal with that. But if
well,
now
you wouldn't have that.
Exactly right.
Yep. Although he doesn't have it in Washington, and they absolutely stink. So.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with you, and I'm sure he wants to win, and he says, I want to win in Washington, but I don't know if that's
I don't know
that's
if it's
a
realistic
possibility.
I agree. Let's go to Spike, our buddy in Jersey. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning, my friends. You know, I'm thinking about, of course, I want the Knicks to get Beal. You don't want to give away the farm. But I wanted Halliburton before the season, I told you guys, and then I watched him play a lot. And his shot, if you put in a blender, you put Kevin Martin, Steph Curry, who started this shooting from the hip deal, Sean Marion, who had the ugliest shot I've ever seen.
Ever.
Emmanuel Quickly, you get Halliburton's shot. I just am so impressed he can make that shot, not get it stuffed. They're shooting from the hip. I mean, the classic shooters, you guys all saw, you know, straight up back and Jerry West, and you didn't see him, or Frazier, or what's his name, Glenn Rice. Beautiful high arc delivery. This kid has a terrific shot. I don't think he's a great ball handler, Halliburton. So I'm happy with our picks. I just think it's going to take time. And I'd love to hear your opinion.
Mike, right now, if you could trade Halliburton for Obi Toppin, you wouldn't do that?
Well, my point was I think it takes Biggs a little longer to develop, and he looks very athletic, Toppin. As you correctly mentioned, he played in a weaker conference where he dominated.
You think he looks very athletic, Spike? You watch Obi Toppin and think he's athletic looking?
Offensively, I think his footwork around the basket, he always goes to the left side of the rim and shoots with his right hand, which isn't easy to do for a right hander. I think he's athletic footwork-wise. Defensively, he's lost. And I'll tell you another thing, you know how much I love the Knicks. Quickly is. And I love the kid. He looks like he's seasoned. Quickly is lost on defense. He's got to stop hanging around with Kevin Knox. His head's on a swivel. The difference is the motor. You know, the motor is the difference because Knox is gone. You're not going to get anything. I always kid you for Nilekina or Knox. You can't give them your trash and expect anything.
No.
And how are you going to get Beal? You tell me how you're going to make the money work.
We've outlined it. I mean, and Frank agreed. Thanks for the call, Spike. You start with R.J. Barrett. You start with picks, and then you start with pick swaps. I don't know what a pick swap does for you with Washington. If they look at that as a tremendous advantage, but I mean, you'd offer it certainly if you're the Knicks.
Well, the advantage is, you're giving them. You can't give them. I mean, Frank outlined it. You can't give them back-to-back picks,
right?
So what you're doing is you're giving them. You know, I guess you're just swapping picks to just make it sound. I mean, make the deal. I guess more beneficial to Washington.
I guess. Guests on DCRP via the Goodyear Hotline. All right, Pele's full name. You ready? Edson.
I have it. I can't pronounce it. Yeah,
Edson Arantes de Nascimento.
That's pretty well done.
Yeah, I try.
But that's why it's number one. You would never know that.
No. Nobody knows that. I bet you Gunling knew it.
No. You're probably right.
Yeah, Gunling probably knew it. He's Mr. Soccer here.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Like Bill Walsh used to script the first, you know, drive or 10 plays of the game. We take a couple of the calls on the Knicks, and then we get into DeGrom and Domingo Germán. How do you feel about that?
I love it.
Okay, good. I thought you might. Let's go to Rob in Brooklyn. Rob, you're next up on 98.7.
Gentlemen, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, listen, Rob? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Listen, man, I don't know what's wrong with Knicks fans right now. I ain't gonna really find our brain cells or something, man. Bradley Beal, are you kidding me? Give me 35 points a game any day of the week, and this is why. If I'm Leon Rose, I got that U-Haul ready, guys. I got the U-Haul that says, let's make a deal for Beal. Which draft pick y'all want? Dallas Mavericks or our draft pick? First of all, pick one. I'm giving you one of those. RJ got to go for Beal, definitely. I love RJ. Kid got harder because he's got hard, but he can't score like that. And with Bradley Beal, we know. We know we ain't got to worry if he's going to play in the fourth quarter. So we need to make this happen. Bottom, I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's a no-brainer. What do y'all want? Knox, RJ, Toppin. And then I'm going to say this, guys. Don't want to mention this either. If I'm going to give up assets, I want one of these too. Because we have leverage. I want that Israeli kid back too.
There's no way you're going to get him. Are you crazy? Yeah, that's the call was fine. You're going to give up multiple picks. You'll give up whatever Drek that you want. You'll give up RJ Barrett. But you're not going to get that kid back in return.
No, I don't think we have leverage either. I don't know how much leverage we have. You think the Knicks have leverage in this situation?
I don't think they have any leverage.
No. No, you're going to get, I mean, you'd end up having to give them whatever they wanted for Bradley Beal.
Could you imagine that? But we're not making this deal until we get the sixth overall pick in this year's draft, who you have really, really high hopes for. Let's go to Andre. I like to call him Dre in Westchester. You're next up on 98.7.
How you doing? Good morning, gentlemen. Grateful again for the call. My question is two things. I think James Harden will be going through what we call the Yankee situation in the 90s when getting MVPs because he got a stacked team. So I think that makes it hard for him to get consideration in my book because that's what the same thing that happened with Jeter and everybody else during the 90s. But back on the Knicks, I believe the Knicks, the team, the system is what makes the team successful today. And I think if you can get a Bill, you go for Bill. The second option on that same team, if you can even get a Westbrook for lesser options, then you make the deal for that as well. You need a veteran pusher up. You need a pusher point guard up that court. So therefore, you can decrease the dribble in Randall's possession. Let him just catch the ball, shoot, do what he got to do, dish it out, whatever the case may be. Obi was drafted because the Knicks at that time, which was the rest of the world, thought that Randall was going to be a flop. No one in that organization or anywhere expected Randall to have the production that he's having this year.
Sure, but you know what? But they missed, right? I mean, you're right that they thought that he could be what Julius Randall was supposed to be, but the fact is that Halliburton is a far superior player than Obi Toppin right now.
Yeah, and you needed guard. I mean, you need guards.
You need a guard forever.
Forever. And the whole notion that you couldn't have taken IQ too, you could have, of course, you could have taken both.
Yeah, right. You think that people would complain right now? Oh, I can't believe we have Quickly and Halliburton. It's just, it's too many guys in the backcourt.
And that Halliburton, watch him tonight. He plays good defense too.
Yeah, he's a good player, a really good player. Guests on DCR PR via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's turn our attention to baseball. We'll start with a positive, and that is Jacob DeGrom. Did you see what he's throwing already, Rick? He hit 99 on the radar gun the other day.
Yeah, like easy 99.
Like well within his normal rotation, normal range, 99.
I was actually watching MLB Network this morning, and they brought this up just because, I mean, there was, I mean, listen, they're trying to make a story on anything, but they, you know, how concerned are you that he's already thrown 99? Is he going to, you know, this is a team that's trying to win a World Series, and they're going to be a playoff team. Is he going to wear himself out? And they're like, no, this is how he throws a baseball now. Like, he's, and they showed the velocity of his four-seam fastball and how much velocity he's picked up. I mean, his average four-seam, I think, was at 94. And now last year, his average four-seam fastball was just under 99 miles an hour.
99? I mean, just to casually be throwing 99 down at the infancy stages of spring training? He is so good.
He's the best pitcher in baseball.
I mean, he's like the perfect pitcher right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, it's not close.
It's really not.
But then they even showed, like, they took the best 3 years of everyone in this generation that you would consider the best. So it was Kershaw's best 3 years. It was Gerrit Cole's best 3 years. It was, you know, Verlander's best 3 years. It was Scherzer's best 3 years. And the only one, when you take their best 3 years ahead of DeGrom, was Kershaw.
Kershaw has been sensational. You know, mind you, how about this now? Who do you think has the best starting staff in baseball?
Who? Best starting staff?
I'd go Dodgers.
I don't know about that, though, Dave.
I mean, I think Walker Buehler at some point is going to be like a top three pitcher in baseball.
No, I agree. He's a stud. I mean, unless for some reason, I mean, his pants cut off his circulation or something.
He wears them tight, that's for sure.
He wears them real tight.
Real tight.
You know who wore pants like that? You know, you know the name when I tell you, obviously. Everyone knows the name. So, Chris Sims. We played softball with Chris Sims.
And he wears them snug, huh?
I don't think he meant to. I think he forgot his pants, so we had to give him pants for the game, and they were so tight. His nickname became, we actually had to call him, I nicknamed him Nut. Because you could see it, it's all you could see.
Really?
Like, this is offensive.
Did he own it, or was he embarrassed?
Oh, he was a little embarrassed. I was like, I can see your pulse right now through your pants.
Oh, dear.
It was too much.
It sounds like a lot.
It's aggressive.
It sounds
very
like a
aggressive.
Lot. If Canty would have been very uncomfortable.
Very, very
uncomfortable. Yeah, Canty would have. He probably would have gone home.
He would have just quit.
He probably would have just said, listen, I'm not going to take an at-bat, and I'm going to go home.
That's an interesting question, though. Who's got the best staff top to bottom in Major League Baseball?
I it pains me, and the Mets are, I think, two, but I think it's the Dodgers.
Dodgers probably.
They're not going to start Dustin May in their rotation
this
year.
No, I get it. I get it. Dodgers one, would you say? See, it changes for me, though. If Syndergaard, who apparently looks fantastic, if he comes back and has actually somehow managed to figure out that, like, it's more than just throwing the ball through the catcher, like, we do need to also learn how to be a pitcher.
Yep.
That changes everything.
Listen, could it be Mets? Yes, I think it could right now. And there's no shame in being the second best staff in all of baseball either. But right now, I think impartially, I would say the Dodgers have the best staff.
You say Dodgers have the best staff. The Nationals have to be right up there.
I think the Nationals are three.
Top three at the Nationals.
I think the top three of the Nationals is insane. I think the back end of the Nationals rotation has some question marks.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Depth-wise, I mean, depending on what happens with Soroka, him coming back too. I mean, the Braves staff is right there. The Braves staff is good.
Yeah, Anderson's really good.
The Padres staff is good.
Very good.
Padres have a very good staff.
And they got Clevinger waiting in the wings for next season.
Which is crazy to even think about. I just don't like the fact that the NL East, to bottom staff-wise, not only is it the most competitive, look at the pitchers you're going up against.
I know. It's daunting. It's a shame they don't have Zach Wheeler, too. He'd be perfect on this.
Well, this wouldn't happen. See, that's the thing about, that's why you got to love having Steve Cohen. That doesn't happen.
No. There's no way that Zach Wheeler is pitching for another team. No chance.
I'm looking at this. Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler.
I mean, Price. Buehler's your third starter.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if he's your third starter. He might end up being your ace.
Then who is Kershaw?
Well, no, yeah, exactly right. But he might end up being, like, who are you giving the ball? Who do you think gets the ball game one of the postseason?
Buehler.
He's filthy.
He's nasty. Who's their 4 and 5 now?
Price.
Oh.
And then Urias.
I mean, who was lights out in the postseason last year out of the bullpen?
Yeah, the only real issue with them is, I mean, I don't even know if it's an issue. It's just because they'll have a quick hook with it. Who's closing games for them?
Well, they said, now, I don't know if it will be long-term, but they said that Kenley Jansen is their closer right now.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah. No, I know. That's definitely a concern, but they have so much talent as far as arms are concerned. All right, so let's turn our attention. That's positive, optimistic. The Mets, you know, how good is their rotation? Is it first? Is it second? Is it third? And then we got to talk about this Domingo Germán situation, which, you know, I didn't realize. I knew it would be a big deal. Honestly, and maybe this is naive of me, I didn't realize it would be this big a deal at this point. But, Rick, it really feels like the Yankees players feel a way about this, and this is not going away anytime soon.
No, but I think that's why it is a big deal, though, Dave. I mean, because of where it happened, when it happened. I mean, not only did it happen in front of, I mean, this is in front of his teammates. This is in front of, you know, his bosses that this happens. Not only does it happen, it also happens right before the postseason, too. When, I mean, in 2019, he pitched great for you. And then,
was he 18-4 in 2019?
Yeah, and now when you need him the most, now he's not available. And I think it's become such a big deal because I mean, Yankees players clearly, when you
feel
heard Voit, yeah, have they feel they really feel strongly, and they should.
Yeah, of course they should. What he did is horrendous, and to do it, I can't get over it. I know I keep saying it. I'm so dumbfounded. The fact that you are becoming abusive with your girlfriend or anybody for that matter, but in public at a team function is unbelievable to me, Rick.
Yeah, and then on top of it now, I mean, you have to involve, because it didn't stop there. I mean, they get back, and now you have to involve a player and his wife to get her out of the situation. Yeah, I mean, this is right in front of your face, man. And you feel like they're going to try to make this work, and I think if he pitches well, I think it probably does work. But there are more than a few of his teammates that will never look at him the same.
The question, I guess, is do they need to? But the question for you guys is, and RJ, our producer, brought this up before the show, and he's a Yankees fan. He loves his team. He said, you know what? I'd move on. I would just say, thank you for your service. Hopefully you have success. It's going to be in another uniform. Is that where you are if you're a Yankees fan, where you're ready to move on from Domingo Germán?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
If what was just said off the air is true,
yeah,
I'm going to be disgusted. I may walk away. I may quit. I may walk away.
There's a chance that I can bring it up on air now, but I don't know. So I'd prefer to wait till tomorrow to bring this up on our show. Early risers will get work. I don't understand. Why can't I just be? Why do I have to be like every time there's a misstep? I mean, I'm talking nonstop for hours. I have one moment where I soil myself and it has to be revisited. Why?
My name is Dave and I had my temperature taken rectally as a child.
I am thermometer boy right now.
I mean, what can I say?
I give up. Check out your thermostat there, Bubbles. What do you got?
So let's make sure we mark down the date. Like, just so people know that are listening, tell your friends that tomorrow may be my last show ever. So make sure you catch it.
I don't know why you would feel like that.
Well, you know exactly.
If in fact,
you
this
know
story
exactly
is true.
Why.
No, because I'll have a rebuttal exactly for everything why. You'll have to say. You'll have to tune in. You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a text to someone to see if I can mention it now. And if I can, I will bring it up in the final 20 minutes of the show today. Otherwise, tomorrow. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't have high hopes.
Well, I'm going to let me get to work. All right, time now.
Oh, you should text, though. You should text Andrew Marchand. Maybe you can probably find out from him before we find
out. He probably would have that information. He's a very knowledgeable guy. Time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look differently this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199, plus get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune in to Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Let's turn our... Go ahead. Look at you. You're such a petulant child. You see what he's doing, RJ and Ray? That I look up and he's giving me the middle finger on our Zoom call.
I will say, though, the thing that you mentioned that we're discussing if we can unembargo, I think he's got a reason to feel the way he does.
I don't know that that's the case.
Look at the sweatshirt I'm wearing right now. It screams that I should be involved with what you're doing.
Maybe you would be involved.
It has the name on it. I'm not doing it now.
Why not?
There's no chance I'm doing it now. 0% chance.
If I ask for your help?
I will say no.
No, you would not.
100% say no.
No, you would
not.
Zero chance. All right, I've sent out the text message to see if I, in fact, can bring this up on air.
And to make matters worse, I get this news on top of the fact that now I'm going to have to drive to God knows where to pick up food because I forgot to put the garbage out.
Well, you have travels based on punishment now?
You don't think that's going to happen now? I get garbage all over the place, and like an idiot, I didn't take it out. So the garbage guy just watched him. He drove up the driveway, and then there's no garbage, so he just took off. I'm in one now.
Oh, boy. I mean, you could wind up in Philadelphia for cheesesteaks for dinner tonight.
That's
multiple
happened.
Cream cheeses? Yeah.
She did make me, when she was pregnant, drive her to Philly for cheesesteaks.
This is garbage!
That is unbelievable. All right, let's turn our attention back into this Domingo Germán story. It's troubling, to say the least. Oh, by the way, I've gotten a response. It's public knowledge. I can bring it up on air. We'll do it in 10 minutes.
And I love how you put times on everything. This is your new thing. You put times on everything.
Well, I think it's a beautiful tease. Is what it is.
Yeah, but you don't. But it never happens.
That's why I was tapped for this, because I understand the art of the tease.
This is like you saying you're going to do a 6-minute mile. We know that's not going to be sick. This thing is not going to be paid off in 10 minutes.
10 minutes. 7:51, you will learn this bustling news. Big news, which will make Rick very unhappy.
By the way, Santi, today is a Thursday, so we will be doing 3 stars.
very well done. All right, back to Germán. It's a serious story. I don't want to make light of it. Obviously, teammates are very upset. You heard what Zach Britton had to say the other day. Let's revisit what Luke Voit had to say yesterday on the Domingo Germán situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Domingo said has to stay within the team. He messed up in life, and, you know, I don't condone any of the things he did. And, you know, he's getting a second chance at this, and we have his back, but he's skating on thin ice, and he needs to get his life together. And I think he's doing the right steps to do so. But again, you know, he's got to prove to us that he can do that.
The phrase that rings out to me with that, Rick, is he's skating on thin ice. This is a long time ago this has happened, and it still apparently rings very true with this Yankees team.
Yeah, he still has a lot to prove.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to prove. I mean, he paid, he served a suspension. So, I mean, I think we all believe in second chances. And now he has to prove to his teammates that he's worked on himself and he's changed. Here's the other thing to take into account, Dave, and I think this is in in any business, this doesn't have to be just professional sports, is you want to be proud of where you work, right? Isn't that the case?
Of course.
Like what we like, I'm proud to work at ESPN. Like what do we stand for as a company, right? Now that's a big thing for a lot of people. So I think I think Zach Britton in particular, like I'm not in charge of those decisions. Like it probably rubs him the wrong way that this guy is allowed to get his second chance with the Yankees. You know what I mean?
I think it probably rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I mean, what this guy did, you look at bottom of the barrel things to do, what he did has to be considered right there. And the fact that the Yankees are bringing him back, it has to upset a lot of people. And you've heard it. I mean, you've heard the tenor of the Yankees and what they've had to say. This bothers them. And I understand why it does.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, this is not the time you want to be talking about stuff like this, right? I mean, it's a new season. You're a team that's trying to win a World Series. You want to be like Luke Voit wants to be being asked, you know, baseball related questions. You know, how do you feel? How was the offseason? I mean, you led the Major League Baseball in home runs last year. Like, how are you looking to, you know, improve on that?
Sure. You want to talk about your job. You don't want to talk about a player that's been abusive to his girlfriend at a Yankees event. And it's not going to go away. It's not like this is not going to be a line of question that's going to ring true all season long.
No, and he's going to have to pitch well. I mean, for this not to be brought up a lot, he's gonna have to pitch well. If he doesn't pitch well, this will be. I mean, you know, the media, they'll start connecting dots, and they'll be asked, "Is this why he's not pitching well?"
Whether it makes sense or not. Remember, the guy hasn't pitched in a year and a half. I mean, there could be a slow start to the season. Let's go to Ron in Chester. Ron, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, Chris, Rick, Thermometer Boy. How's everybody doing?
All right. Well, Chris is not here. Thermometer Boy is fine, and I think Rick is also. Well. I am Thermometer Boy right now.
Excellent. So the way I read the room, and Rick made the point, actually, is that I think the Yankee players were actually sick with Yankee management, that even after 18 months later, that he's still being given a shot at playing. I think the Yankee players wanted to distance themselves completely from the decision and were forced to say something to the effect of, we have his back, but not really. Zach Britton doesn't have his back. The fact it was done in front of Yankees' wives, can you imagine how many wives telling their husbands, look, you're playing and you're supporting a team that supports this action by bringing this guy back? I think the Yankees players had to separate themselves completely from the decision, and this is their way of doing it.
Well, I don't think they have any say, Ron. I mean, they're employees on a team, and the team is telling them, this is what we're doing. So they can be as disgusted as they want, but ultimately, they really have no say in this.
No, they don't, and I think that's what's frustrating. But again, I go back to, I mean, when this happened, and I'm telling you, Dave, I've been being in locker rooms all my life. Like, there are some guys that could care less, like, have no interest in you know, what you do off the ice, off the field. If you're a good guy, you're a bad guy. There, I mean, your sole purpose of being on that team is to help them win. Like, some guys have that attitude. So not only are there teammates that are disgusted and should be disgusted with what he did and have a hard time, you know, having him in that clubhouse, on top of it, the guys that just care about, you know, the whole winning part of this, is he let you down in the biggest moment. He was not available when you needed him the most.
That's right.
So this is, I mean, this goes both ways with this.
It's a terrible story, and it's not going to go away.
But I mean, and then you're getting asked, like, I mean, do you support Domingo Germán? That's not, you don't want to be in that spot, because you don't.
Well, nobody supports him. I mean, you'd be an ass if you said anything to the contrary of that. But you want to support him as a teammate, I guess, right? You don't support the actions, but you want to be a good teammate, and he's going to be part of your team.
I know you want to be a good teammate, but there's certain things that are, I mean, that come up across, that come up against that line. I mean, does he deserve you to be a good teammate? You know what I mean? Like, you always want to be a good teammate, but there are certain things your teammates can do where you can't be a good teammate anymore. Like if one of your teammates decides he wants to go, you know, go hook up with someone on your team's wife, like that's no bueno.
Like a Roger Dorn situation.
You can't be a good teammate anymore. Like I can't protect you anymore. Like, you crossed the line. Like, there's a certain line that needs to be drawn.
And I would think that the line is way down the road. Like, there are only a couple of things that you do, and now the team frowns upon you.
Yeah, like, I mean, sleeping with someone else's wife on the team, that is...
Yes, I would think that would be one of them.
That happens. What Domingo Germán did, and anything involved with...
Children.
Like, the Tyreek Hill thing makes me sick to my stomach.
It's awful.
Like, I'd have a hard time being in that locker room.
How about Adrian Peterson?
Same thing.
Right? The amazing thing to me is... with so many of these guys, we look past it. Like, it's awful. In the moment, we're horrified. You think about Adrian Peterson right now. Now, it bothers me every time that I hear his name, but he's beloved now again in the NFL. Tyreek Hill, I mean, the Chiefs fans, they adore him now. And they've done horrendous things.
Yeah, but the fan feels the same way that Zach Britton feels. What am I going to do? What can you do? You want to see your team win.
Right, they clearly, you're going to root for your team.
As an organization, they obviously don't have a problem with it because he's still on the team. So what am I supposed to do now?
Or they have a problem and they do the risk-reward game, right? Having him on the team makes us much better, and it's in the long term, it's going to be worth it for us.
Yeah,
do they go to the Super Bowl with that Tyreek Hill? Probably not.
And to the fan base, the most important thing is to win.
Yes. But look, Aroldis Chapman has what he's done, and yep, he's terrific in big spots for the most part, and Yankee fans are able to look past it.
Yeah, and if the Yankees didn't feel like Domingo Germán was going to be a big part of what they were doing this season and moving forward, they wouldn't be dealing with this kind of stuff right now.
100%. Let's go to Troy in South Carolina. Good morning, Troy. You're on 98.7.
All right. Yeah, I've been listening to this since yesterday. So this thermometer boy thing, are you like walking around like literally or on the Zoom or whatever, literally thermometer boy as we speak?
I don't know. I don't understand what that means.
He's like a human popsicle right now.
Do I have a thermometer out of my rectum right now? No.
Yeah, well, I mean, you keep saying, I am thermometer boy.
Well, because I have right been now. The guy that has put the thermometer in his bottom, along with thousands of others as well, as a child years ago. So, yeah, for that reason, I am thermometer boy.
I still don't understand why the anus is the place where you're going to get the most accurate temperature.
I don't have that answer. Don, upstate New York, which apparently I think is anywhere north of Westchester, is on 98.7. Don, turn the radio down. That didn't work. This is beautiful. Let's go to Scott in the Bronx. Scott, you're next up on 98.7.
Hi. So basically, my mom was a nurse, mm-hmm, and she always said that the rectal thermometers were more accurate. So, I mean, I did the rectal thermometer when I was a kid. It's really no big deal. You should shun this. There should be no.
Yeah, but Scott,
so
do me
relax.
Scott,
everybody should just, you know, let it go.
Scott, is your mother told you this? Is your mother still alive?
My mother's still alive. She's a retired nurse. She was a registered nurse for 45 years.
All right. Ask her for me this, because this is in callback tomorrow. How did we know at the time the rectal thermometer was invented that it was the most accurate temperature reading? Like, how else are you taking the temperature to know it's the most accurate?
Hey.
Is there another device they were using to say, you know what, compared to the oral one, this rectal one is right on?
I don't even think the oral one was in existence when I was a kid. And it's not like I'm 90 years old, and thanks for the call, Scott. I don't think oral thermometer taking was something that was doable 40 years ago.
They actually had the forehead thermometer, but your mom was just telling you, no, this is the only one. This is the only one that's been invented.
You know, you laugh and you can, and you have your giggles with this whole thing. But we've had how many people call that said, yes, I also had this.
Who wants a Dave Rothenberg popsicle?
It's terrible. I shouldn't have told you this. And I have fractured glass in my rear.
I don't understand how you know that's the most accurate, though.
I was six. I don't know anything.
No, not you.
Lie down. I'm going to take your temperature. I knew no different.
No, not you. The person that's inventing this. Listen, this is why we're doing this, because it's the most accurate at reading your temperature. Well, how else are they reading your temperature to know that the anus is the most accurate? That's what I'm saying.
Why do you say it like that? The anus. Sounds like you're foreign. PCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on
take
average.
Take him right now. He'll tell us.
You want to go to Dr. Ahmad?
Yes.
All right, Dr. Ahmad Patterson, hey, yeah, welcome aboard.
Thank you, guys. It's just pure science. Obviously, the rectum is, first off, more central to the body than the mouth, so we want a more central measure of your temperature, and so it's closer to the center of your body. That's the first thing.
Yeah, but Doc, wouldn't the belly button be the most central part to take the temperature then?
No, you need something inside the body, brother.
Why are you arguing? He's Dr. Ahmad. Why would you argue? He'll argue with anybody.
You want to measure something outside of the body to figure out what's inside the body? Come on, bud. No, you guys are great, but it's just the mouth, obviously, because your saliva and other things that can cool down the temperature. So it's not as accurate, which is why you'll do it in the armpit, under the tongue, something to make sure you're fully in a, I guess, cavity, if you will. But definitely rectal in the hospital is the number one we use. Thank you.
Yes, science!
There you go. I love the fact that you're arguing. The guy is a doctor. You're like, but doc, how about the navel?
I don't believe any of this, though. The excuses for doing this still could not get me to be like, you know what? I'm going to choose this one. It's more central. No, it's not. You're most at the top. It's at the bottom. I have an itty belly button.
You will argue absolutely anything.
How about the other one? Well, I mean, God forbid the mercury gets into your mouth, as opposed to getting into, like, it wouldn't affect you if it got into your butt?
I think it probably would.
So what are we talking about?
Suppository.
So what are we talking about here? In the saliva. So what? The other stuff, I don't understand
why you need to argue. This is a doctor. He's a trained medical professional. He's telling you this is the best way to go about it. And you're like, no, doc, I'm sorry.
I think they've all been lied to.
When I got into Harvard, they told us that in fact, it's not the best way to go about it.
This is a farce. They've all been lied to. They've been lied to. From the start, from the invention of this, everyone's been lied to.
All right. Now, I have a read I'm going to do quickly here. But then I have the big tease, which I'm going to pay off in just a moment. Save big during O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Days Sale with great deals on socket sets, power tools, and more. I shouldn't be doing this read, by the way. I don't know anything about these things. Socket sets, power tools, and more, nothing. If you are different than me and you are a do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity. Right now, get $10 off a 200-piece mechanics tool set plus double O'Rewards points. That means you'll get to your next reward even faster. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Is this for me the big news? I mean, this is glorious stuff. And I say this with pride that this is going to be happening. There is going to be, Rick, starting Saturday, March 6th, a hockey show launching on 98.7 ESPN. It's going to go on a 10-week run, 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning. It is yet to be named. Here in the crease is certainly up for debate. And the host of the show.
You can't do In the Crease.
Oh, could be a great name, In the Crease.
What do you mean? Linda Cohn's show is already In the Crease on ESPN+.
Well, maybe not anymore. It's not. But guess who's hosting the show?
Is it going to be a show about hockey or the thermometer, In the Crease?
No, hockey. Hockey.
Dave had a fever. Damn near wrecked him.
That was well done. You're bearing the lead, though. Guess who's going to be hosting this big hockey show?
It's nonsense. Nonsense.
That'd
why
be
is it? Why is it like when I want to do some kind of other show? No, you're just you're a hockey player. But now when there's an actual hockey show, I'm not even involved in the hockey show. I don't.
Would
get
you
it.
Like to be involved in the hockey show? I'd love to have you out as a guest.
Not now. Yeah, as a guest. I'm the only one that played hockey at the station.
I once skated when I was 5, and I got very nervous that I was going to be cut by the skate, and I stopped right there.
Which says everything you need to know about this fugazi hockey show.
It's not going to be fugazi. It's going to be great. I'm going to have Don as a guest. I'd like to have you as a guest. Maybe get Steve Valiquette as a guest. I mean, it's going to be a high-level hockey show.
Yeah, let's outsource it. Let's outsource the show to the only guy on the staff, on the roster that played in the NHL. Let's keep him off the show and have Dave Rothenberg, who can't even stand up on ice skates, be the guy who breaks down.
Well, let me ask
NHL.
You this. Do you think that it's within your purview that you could do a solo hockey show and carry it for a full hour?
Yeah, I probably
host
could.
Host it.
Do
welcome back.
To?
This is Rick DiPietro. You're listening to In the Crease with Rick and sponsors and reads and all the machinations that go along with an hour-long show. You think you could absolutely do that?
I could 100% do it.
Okay.
I don't want to do it. And here's the other thing. Now, all of a sudden.
So if you don't want to do it, why are you so upset?
I mean, yeah, I don't. I could. I would have liked to have said no to it. I would have been. I'd like to be asked first.
So that's what you are. You're. I want to be asked, guy. But had I been asked, I wouldn't have done it anyway.
Potentially. It gets too early. I mean, I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning during the week. I'm gonna do a 7 a.m. show on Saturday.
Well, here's the beauty of the new show that's gonna launch Saturday, March 6th, hour long. It's gonna be taped on Friday. No, it's gonna be a magazine style show.
That's a
Butch
joke.
Goring, I'm sure, is gonna join.
That makes it worse. The fact that you're not waking up to do it, this is going to be actually taped, so I probably would have said yes to it.
Yeah.
I wasn't even asked.
I'd love to have you on the first show.
No, I'm not doing it.
I mean, maybe I'd love to have you as the first guest.
Now I'm a guest. See?
I got coordinating producers. There's going to be other things I'll have to, you know, hoops I have to jump through, but I'd love to get you on the show.
Yeah, you could break down another Rangers loss, like the one last night.
Disgusting. Barry Trotz, I think, will come on at some point.
I can't even get Barry Trotz on this show. You're going to get him as a guest on your new show?
Oh, I've had a sit-down with Barry Trotz.
This is I'm done. I don't even know how I can work here anymore. I clearly have no respect for me. I'm sitting here wearing a hockey sweatshirt on a team that I played for, and no, not even consulted.
I don't know that you have time. You're coaching a team. You're doing this show. Something's got to give. You're traveling, you know, far and wide to pick up, you know, lunch, dinner. Something's got to give.
What sport does that team I'm coaching play?
They play hockey.
Oh, yeah, hockey. It's a joke. I quit. I'm quitting. I'm quitting. Tomorrow will be my last show.
Okay. All right. Then you won't be around. Then you can listen to the hockey show on March 6th at 7 o'clock here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, Santi. Today's one of those days where we do three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR number three.
You know, I was going to go with a food theme here, but recent developments have kind of changed everything. So the third star is going to be management for their complete lack of respect for the hockey experts on this station. I mean, for not even counting Rick DiPietro, like the guy who actually played and was a number one overall pick. We also have Don LaGreca, who hosts a great podcast called Game Misconduct, and he's just been...
He already has an outlet. He has a podcast. I don't have a hockey outlet. Rick has the team.
For a reason. There's a reason. He's
Rick has the team. Don has the podcast. I want to dip my toe into the hockey world.
He's the Rangers' backup play-by-play voice on our station. And
I'd love
also,
to have him on as a
the
guest,
pregame
too.
Host. You would think he'd be qualified, too, but I guess.
I used to do Rangers pre and post. For years, I did
used
Rangers
to,
pre
used
and post.
To, but you haven't done it on my watch.
No.
Number two.
So that being said, number two is going to go to Barry in Islip for his great suggestion of French toast, driving all the way to Pennsylvania for French toast. I mean, like,
let's get some French toast.
Way to go, Barry. I think I'm going to go get this pecan baked French toast, he called
You'll
it?
Never go. There's no way you'll ever go to Pennsylvania for French
baked
toast.
And steamed. Baked and steamed.
And the eggs are like you've never had in your life.
Like they were just laid.
Oh,
number
what
one.
What
number one's going to go. Actually, she's long deserved this for a while. It's going to go to Cassie DiPietro for getting us on this food theme, for sending Rick on a three-hour jaunt for some Detroit-style pizza out of Manhattan. Take a bow, Cassie.
I'm being told, too, on Twitter that I was right. But if you can use the armpit, you could also use any belly button.
You
buy a medical professional.
What do you mean any belly button? How many belly buttons do people have? We'll do this again tomorrow morning. Can't they'll be back with us as well. It's Rule 76, belly button.
No excuses for like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rotham, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.